So the Houses of Parliament was really a really important place for the women's suffrage struggle. And the reason for this was, of course, twofold. Firstly, they needed to influence Parliament as the place which passed laws which would decide if they could get the vote or not, and also as the place they wanted to be. They wanted to be there as voters, sending MPs, and potentially perhaps standing as MPs themselves in future. So Parliament is both physically a place where they needed to be to influence and lobby their cause, and the place that they really needed to establish themselves on, to establish the fact that they deserved, you know, because of equality, that they ought to have a presence there in their own right. During the 19th century, when all the petitioning and peaceful behind-the-scenes lobbying was going on, many women suffrage campaigners spent many hours up in the ladies' gallery, listening to debates, sitting in central lobby and other places, waiting to meet their MP, waiting to see government ministers to lobby them, to tell them about what was happening, what they were doing, what they were getting up to. But by the early 20th century, some women were fed up with this. It hadn't worked for the previous decades. And in 1903, the Women's Social and Political Union was formed in Manchester by Emmeline Pankhurst and others, that was dedicated to deeds, not words, to actually going out there and using more militant tactics. And for them too, of course, Parliament was the target to protest that, except now they weren't just going along and handing over petitions and trying to meet ministers. They were actually there physically putting their bodies in places where women had not gone before. So women were restricted from certain areas of Parliament in this period. For a start, they couldn't sit with men in the main public gallery, which was known as the Strangers' Gallery. And although the House of Commons chamber is a different building today because it was destroyed in the Second World War bombing, the layout was very similar. So if you can think of Parliament as you see it on TV, the green benching in the House of Commons, the view that you get of a speaker in his chair and the government on one side and the opposition on the other, was just the same in those days. And men sat in the big public gallery, which is where you get the camera's eye view today. Women had to sit separately at the back of the chamber, high above the speaker's chair in the ladies' gallery. Now, they did at least have a space they could watch parliamentary debates from, which was actually a step forward, because before 1834, when Parliament burned down, women had no place to watch parliamentary debates from at all, and in fact used to watch proceedings through a ventilator in the attic space above the House of Commons. After the fire, Parliament building was rebuilt, and this time they put in the ladies' gallery. But not only was it separate from the men, it was much smaller. The angle which to view debates was much steeper, and so women had to lean forward and peer through the window. And their view was obstructed through the window because heavy metal grills were deliberately placed over the windows, which stopped the MPs seeing out. The heavy metal grills were put there in order to obstruct the view for the MPs down in the chamber below, so they couldn't see women watching them in case it distracted them. And this created a deliberate harem effect, where women could see out but men couldn't see in. It also served to formally put women in a separate room. So they weren't in a gallery there in the chamber, they were in a separate room attached to the chamber with these grills over the window. And so it would not be said that women were there in the House of Commons, which was not thought to be desirable. And the women hated the grills. From the earliest times in the mid-19th century, women complain. Questions are asked in the House by sympathetic MPs. Can the grills not be removed? They're making the whole space really hot, very stuffy, very unpleasant. But the answer was always the same, that it's not thought desirable the grills should be removed. And the women just had to put up with it. So the grills became, over time, both a physical and a metaphorical symbol of women's exclusion from Parliament. And this can be really very well illustrated by an event in 1908 by militant suffragettes from the Women's Freedom League when they targeted the grill as part of a deliberate protest. So on the 28th of October 1908, three suffragettes made their way up to the Ladies' Gallery, and at a particular point in the evening during discussion on the licensing bill, two of the suffragettes stood up, started shouting, and they chained themselves to the grill. And these suffragettes were Helen Fox and Muriel Matters. They were the ones that chained themselves to the grill. A third suffragette, Violet Tillard, thrust a banner through the grill and lowered it into the House of Commons chamber before. And all three women were shouting away, and to such an extent that the Hansard report, which is the official report of the debates made in the House of Commons, stops at this point. And if you look at the record, it said that the Hansard reporter could not hear the rest of the speech by Mr. Remnant MP because of the disturbance in the ladies' gallery. So they actually succeeded in formally protesting to the proceedings of Parliament, at least temporarily that evening. Now, the authorities rushed into the ladies' gallery and they tried to get Helen Fox and Muriel Matters off the grill, but they couldn't immediately get them off. So they took the whole grill out of the window, frog-marched the suffragettes out and cut them off in a committee room nearby. So that's the level of disruption women had managed to formally place themselves inside the Commons Chamber and have their voices heard in the floor of the House. And this was one of the three simultaneous protests going on in Parliament that evening. So the women had organised themselves very well. At the same time as the protest in the Ladies' Gallery, a separate group of women causing a protest in St Stephen's Hall, which is where women had to wait to go into Parliament, and a group of men threw leaflets from the Strangers' Gallery. So there were male sympathisers of suffragettes, male suffragettes you might call them, right there in the heart of Parliament, helping the women disrupt proceedings at this time. And because it was so much effort to get the women off the grill, the parliamentary authorities, a little bit later, once things had calmed down, went out and purchased a pair of bolt clippers so that they could more easily get women off the next time this happened. And although there wasn't another protest like that in the Ladies' Gallery, there were later events where women did chain themselves to other things in the building. The following year, in April 1909, suffragettes from the Women's Social and Political Union simultaneously chained themselves to four statues in St Stephen's Hall, where they were sitting waiting to go in to hear to meet MPs or hear debates. And the authorities rushed in, this time armed with the bolt clippers. And the police report and the parliamentary archives recalled that the bolt clippers were most satisfactory and the whole event was over in a few minutes. And the only issue was slight damage to the spur of statue of Viscount Falkland, which you can still see today if you visit Parliament.